Okay. Say, Father, I need ears. Spiritual ears. To hear. Spiritual eyes. To see. And a word to my heart today that will come alive and let me understand the intensity of your grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to take you to Romans. So we're going to go to the book of Romans. And we're going to be looking at chapter 10. I'm going to be using the Amplified because we're going to pound a few things home. How many know if it's pounded home, you won't return with an empty heart? Amen? The word that I heard this morning, loud and clear, is verse 10. With the mouth, he confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith, and confirms his salvation. St. Paul is writing to believers. He's trying to awaken us that our mouth, when it is filled with his words, will have an incredible impact and will change our hearts. So again, verse 10, for with the heart a person believes. The Amplification says, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ. Relies on who?
Christ.
On Christ. And so is justified. So the heart is justified, declared righteous, acceptable to God, and with the mouth he confesses and declares openly and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. This past week, I ended up ministering to a young man that was being challenged. And I kind of was aware that his love for God was kind of what you could call conditional. Because he didn't get the answered prayers that he expected. Anybody relate? Mm-hmm. And the degree of war that was going on within him was evident because God's Holy Spirit kind of pressured me to minister to him, and we talked quite a while. Talked about expectations and what we confess and how we declare things and how they bear fruit. And at one point I said to him, are you ready to pray? Because he's got somebody in his heart. And that person is involved with someone else. How many have ever had a love for someone who's involved with someone else? Put your hand up if you're connecting. Thank you. Well, he was going to give up and just let that person out of his life because he felt it might be that he's interfering in that person's life. And he's a very lightweight believer, let's say it that way. Lightweight. He's starting on a journey. And of course, compared to him, I probably would be considered a heavier weight. So I reminded him that it is important that he turns this young lady over to the Lord. And if she is to be his,
amen,
that something awesome would happen and manifest. Oh, he says, I'm not ready to pray. And I said, well, are you afraid of what you're about to declare? Well, what if I lose her? I said, well, if you lose her, God's going to provide to you someone greater. Oh. So that changed his heart a little bit. And I said, well, you know, if you're looking at this, how long has this situation been going on? He says, almost 3 years. I said, that can be pretty depressing. When you're in your 20s and you've been waiting 3 years and there's no change. How many know you can get bored watching nothing happen?
Amen.
Thank you. So I added a couple of comments. I don't remember exactly what they were. And I saw his face change. And I said, what about if we kind of let God take care of her heart? And if she is in the right relationship, that it'll continue to blossom. So that you will know that this is God saying no to you. Oh, he says, that makes sense. It's good. So now are you ready to pray? Yep. So I began to pray, and he repeated. And we're out in the hallway next to the pool. And asked the Lord to take over his heart, not hers. And to let God work for his glory on this relationship that's not been a relationship for 3 years. And so then he says, well, she kind of got mad at me. I said, of course, you never did anything wrong. And he said, you're right. And he's smiling and he's laughing. Yes. So I said, can we maybe ask the Lord for healing in the heart now? And start confessing that God can use it for his glory if you give it up. If you give it to him, he's going to do something awesome for him and for you. Going to heal her and heal you. So I reminded him that his mouth was important. Because his prayer has been kind of selfish. Nobody in this place ever goes in that place. I'm probably the only one that visits there once in a while. You wouldn't know anything about that? Good. So I reminded him that with the heart, a person believes. Adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ. He says, oh, I don't know if I want to let go. I said, well, you're at the valley of decision. I said, I will respect whatever you decide. So he pondered for a couple of seconds and he said, I'm tired of waiting. Jesus. I said, then we have a breakthrough. We'll let go and let God. Are you ready to pray now? Yes. That was a firm yes. So we joined hands in the hallway and I said, Lord, keep the angels at the end of the hall so that we don't get interference. And we prayed. And I'm about to walk away. And I said, I don't know why I'm being drawn to you. I said, are we supposed to continue this conversation? Well, he says, it's up to you. I said, yeah, I guess it is. Are we supposed to go a little deeper in what's happening in your life? Oh, he says, well, ain't much happening. And he says, starts telling me about his job situation and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not going to go into all the details. But what's important is what I'm trying to tell you is you can minister to anyone, anywhere for the purposes of God. I know that when I left that area where we ended up talking for another 10 minutes, that it was a completed deal. God had given him hope, had given him an ability to give up what's been binding his heart for 3 years. Now, I don't know the future about this girl, but if she lands into his arms, I know I'm going to hear some news. If she decides to marry the other guy, I'm still going to hear some news. But more important, the young man's free. For with the heart a person believes, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, relies on the anointing, and so is justified. Isn't that cool? I get justified when I rely on Christ. Declared righteous, acceptable to God. I am declared righteous because of my heart being in the right place at the right time for the purposes of God, not my own agenda. And with the mouth I confess. I declare openly and speak out freely his faith, not yours. You say, well, my faith is important. Yours might be down to the size of a mustard seed because you've got worn out. Anybody ever use their faith a little bit and all of a sudden it starts, and you end up groaning. You didn't see that scale coming down on the picture that I'm showing you, but every one of you, including me, gets worn down. We need the saints to lift us back up. We need each other. And his faith will pick us back up and confirm his salvation of your circumstance. When I ended up leaving this young man, I said to him, can you handle a hug? And we're both kind of sweaty. I says, and we're both going to take a shower, but the hug is eternal. And he smiled and he said, that's good. That's good. And so, you know, don't wait for an opportunity that you're going to try to create to minister to somebody. Be yourself, wherever you are. Brethren, with all heart, with all my heart. Verse 1, chapter 10. Brethren, with all my heart's desire and goodwill for Israel, I long and pray to God that they may be saved. Israel needs salvation, so do we. I bear them witness that they have a certain zeal and enthusiasm for God, but it is not enlightened and according to correct and vital knowledge. You say, well, where are you coming from now? Just giving you another example that I came from a religious group. I had dinner last night with a religious group. They are hungry for God. But do they know the salvation that I understand now? They don't. And I'm not trying to put them down. Religious folks are wonderful people. But they're not enlightened at this time. With correct vital knowledge. Verse 3. For being ignorant of the righteousness that God ascribes, which makes one acceptable to him in word and thought and deed, and seeking to establish a righteousness, a means of salvation of their own. They did not obey or submit themselves to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law, the limit at which it ceases to be. For the law leads up to him, who is the fulfillment of its types, and in him the purpose which it was designed to accomplish is fulfilled. That is, the purpose of the law is fulfilled in him, Christ, Jesus, as the means of righteousness, right relationship with God. For everyone who trusts in and adheres to and relies on him. For Moses writes that the man who can practice the righteousness, perfect conformity to God and his will, which is based on the law with all its intricate demands, shall live by it. But the righteousness based on faith, imputed by God and bringing right relationship with him, says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. As if we could be saved by our own efforts. That's amplification. You know something? For a long time, I believed that I was being saved by my own efforts. How many of you can relate to that? Put your hand way up if you believe it. Well, I'm trying to tell you that that was religious. And there's a lot of this world right now that's in that space. Verse 8 says, but what does it say? The word, God's message in Christ, is near you, on your lips and in your hearts. That is the word, the message, the basis, and object of faith which we preach. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now you say, well, I'm going to be saved? I believe salvation is progressive. I believe that what I believed when I admitted the Lord to come into my heart was a foundation of a starting of a building.
Amen.
And it came in brick by brick.
Yep.
One piece at a time.
Yep.
On the foundation of the rock. His name is?
Jesus.
Now go ahead. Close your eyes for a moment. How many remember the story of the three little pigs?
Yes.
One built with one type of material. And the next one decided that he was going to use his way. And of course, it didn't really manifest when the big wind came along. But then the third one decided to build brick upon brick upon solid foundation. And when the wind came, nothing happened to his house. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Every brick.
Of my house,
is like the third pig.
It is solid.
And when the enemy comes, with his big wind, I know my house will stand. Because it's not built on sand. No matter what kind of storm,
I will see
God's building a house. It's a house of prayer. For all nations,
all nationalities.
And he's building it. Brick by brick.
And I'm one of them.
In the international house. For God's glory. So, with my heart, a person believes, adheres to, and relies on Christ. And so is justified, declared righteous, acceptable to God. And with the mouth, he confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. Confirms his
salvation.
That's what he's doing today.
Yes.
In you and me. You say, why did the story of the little pigs? Because I saw it in a vision this morning. I did. I saw that house in beautiful little bricks, you know, gorgeous. And I saw the big wind standing in the corner. And I said, God, how's that going to fit in? Well, it fits in because we are also being built up brick by brick by brick. And he's not done yet. Who's the roof? He's the roof. He's the foundation. He's the beginning and? And if your roof leaks, it's time to get some help. Got the Holy Ghost available. Close your eyes. Father, I release a blessing upon them that this word will bring them hope and recreate what's needed for this week in the days ahead, that you will manifest your grace to them as they declare with their mouth the intensity of what you have begun, and you won't quit until it's well done.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Share some hugs with each other.